Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the second hour of the John Moore Show on Tuesday, the 8th day of March, 2011. Well, my special guest has been a regular here. In fact, he's down in that part of Texas where the Republic Broadcasting Worldwide Headquarters is, down in Austin. Lucas. Lucas is the producer of the most watched video on YouTube. The video has been watched by more people than any other video ever posted on YouTube, and it deals with the tragic events of September 11th, 2001. Now, Lucas, are you there, sir?
Hey, how's it going, John? Thanks for having me on.
How far are you from Round Rock, by the way?
Oh, about 20 miles.
20 miles. Well, maybe at some point we might have you do an interview in the studio there, and we get studio-quality audio. Wouldn't that be good?
Oh, cool. That'd be neat.
That'd be neat. Well, maybe that's something we can do. I can't make any promises. I haven't talked to station management yet, but that could be a possibility. This video that you did concerning the events of 9/11/01, how long after the events did you begin the project, and when did you complete it?
Well, the project was in the back of my mind the second I saw those towers fall, because I knew that there wasn't... wasn't an accident. And so what basically, happened is a number of years went by, and then I saw 9/11 Mysteries, and that movie kind of pulled out a bunch of things that I hadn't known. And that I saw that, I believe, 2004, and then I started the ultimate kind of started doing the research into it and put it out in April of 2007. So I researched for a couple of years, gathering facts, and then I compiled it all together over the course of about a six-month period and then released it in 2007.
Yeah, okay, hold that thought. We got a break. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back. Here we are, Lucas and John, a sweet distraction for an hour or two. Lucas, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What is the title of this production?
It's called The Ultimate Con. And I wanted the Ultimate Con. I wanted to correct something you said earlier. It's not the most watched YouTube video of all time. It's the most watched YouTube video about 9/11 conspiracy.
Oh, okay.
On
the most watched video about 9/11. Well, that's still commendable.
When was the last time you looked at the counter? It's got 20.1 million views. Loose Change holds the record for most 9/11 watched 9/11 video on the internet of all time. God knows how many people saw that. Maybe 100 million.
But, Loose Change?
Loose Change is probably the most watched video of all time on 9/11. But on YouTube, I hold that record, and basically I have fifth most watched political video of all time. So it's definitely got its
20 million people, my goodness. That's phenomenal. What's the length? What's the running time of the video?
Well, the one on YouTube is just the trailer. It's a 10-minute trailer. See, that's the thing. The whole documentary is 2 hours long, and that's still on Google Video. Okay, they stopped the hit counter at 80,000 back in 2007. Right, not long after I put it out, it had 80,000 views. So I have no idea how many people have seen the actual whole 2 hour documentary.
And how would a person get their hands on the entire 2 hour video?
Oh, basically they could just, they can go to the internet and type in The Ultimate Con, and they'll find all the kind of torrent sites that have it on there, and different sites where you can download it or whatnot. But I don't actually offer it for sale or anything.
Okay, all right. So that's what a person would have to do. You don't really have a link from your website to watch this or get it?
I believe it's if you go to theultimateconspiracy.com, which is my other site, which is kind of linked in with the rabbit hole, you can watch it there.
Theultimateconspiracy.com. Okay, so that's where a person would go to. And your main website is what?
The main website is rabbitholetwo.com.
rabbitholenumeral2.com. And your best-selling DVD there is titled what?
The Destroyer Star in the Future of Mankind.
Outstanding. And I highly recommend it. I've got a copy here in front of me, ladies and gentlemen. It's extremely well done. Okay, anyway. I had somebody come in my driveway. I had to see who it was. going back to the events of the September 11th, 2001. I'd like you to describe where you were that morning, what you observed, and what your thoughts were, if you would, please.
Well, a lot of, let me start out 2 days before that, actually. You know, I never believed in you know, things I couldn't prove before, and I still don't typically believe in things, but 2 days before 9/11, I started to get a really immense feeling of overwhelming, I don't know how to describe it, some sort of just feeling of doom and gloom. And for 2 days I felt that. In fact, Monday I didn't even go to work because I felt so bad. I called all my friends and asked them if everything was all right. I just felt like something really weird was happening. And then I didn't actually have to work on Tuesday, so I woke up late. I went down to the store, and the lady's like, you better fill up on gas now because the gas is going to be $10 a gallon by tomorrow. And I'm like, why? And she told me about the whole ordeal, and I raced home and turned on the TV, and then I saw the towers fall, and I was like, oh, my goodness, that couldn't have been those planes. See, the people don't realize how big those towers were. Those things were huge. They could absorb probably 10 jets hitting them.
Oh, yeah. In fact, they were specifically, of course, at the time, the big commercial airliner was a 707 Boeing, which is a very large commercial jet airliner. They were specifically engineered to take a hit from a 707 and really not be too terribly disturbed.
Yeah, I mean, where did this pancake idea come from before 9/11? All of a sudden now it's pancake. So it's, I don't know. When I saw those things fall, I just knew that there was something bigger behind it.
Well, we're supposed, and this is a problem, and almost all professional firemen, and these days even the volunteers, they go through training. It's necessary to keep them alive fighting fires. And they learn about the different temperatures that different things will burn at. For example, kerosene. Now, most people don't know jet fuel and kerosene are exactly the same thing, aren't they?
Right. It's just a matter of the air mixture that you mix with it. That's
well, the most efficient air fuel mixture for kerosene just happened to take place in the jet engine. It's burning absolutely as hot as it can, and guess what? It doesn't melt the engine, does it?
No, of course not. You put pots and pans on top of your stove, and with the blue flame, okay, you get a blue flame out of the stove, which is much hotter than the red flames that we saw at the World Trade Center.
Natural gas, but not kerosene. The maximum temperature kerosene burns, I believe, is about 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit. Is that my recollection correct? I think.
Not exactly. I'd have to look that up. It's been so long since I've looked and known those numbers.
It's been a while for me. That's my recollection. But the temperature you need to melt structural steel is approaching 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and we both of us are in agreement that kerosene can never ever get even close to that, can it?
Oh, right. Exactly. There's no comparison. And that's why they had to switch the story. Originally, first, they said it melted it, and then the physicists and scientists came out and said, no, that didn't melt it. And then they said, oh, we were wrong. It softened the steel. It made it more malleable, I guess.
Right, right. And even still, we've got how many engineers, men and women with bachelor's, master's, and PhDs in metallurgy and various related sciences saying, no, that still couldn't happen. How many? It's several hundred at this point, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. There was engineers and architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. And the last time I looked at them, they were in their, you know, hundreds and hundreds of professionals behind them. And that was a couple of years ago. So,
right.
You know, I've been working on so many other things since then. I'm kind of out of the loop a little bit on the current 9/11 things that are going on. It's just been...
Well, I think it's really relevant, Lucas, because I think we're at the cusp, at the edge of another event or two happening in this country that will be told is real when in fact it's a false flag operation, and that the intelligence services were at least fully knowledgeable, if not complicit, in what's about to happen in this country.
Oh, there's so much proof that, all the put options before 9/11, obviously people knew there was movement of money and just various things that happened beforehand. Donald Rumsfeld going on the news telling everybody that the Pentagon just lost $2.3 trillion the day before 9/11. So there was definitely inside information.
Now, in your presentation, The Ultimate Con, I'd like you to kind of describe what you talked about when it came to Building 7, if you would, please.
Well, basically, The Ultimate Con, there's no narration or no conjecture in it whatsoever. What I did is I spent a couple years compiling news clips, and I put them all together in a way that told a story so that it would be totally undebunkable.
Okay.
You couldn't say that I had my conjecture in there. But I did cover Building 7 by using the news clips, and they showed that, for one, the BBC released their press release 13 minutes before Building 7 actually fell. She's talking about, you know, Building 7 has fallen, and it's right over her shoulder in the same video.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Building 7, the best we know, had been completely evacuated before it came down. Is that accurate?
Yeah. One of the guys that was in there, oh, goodness, I can't remember his name. He was on the security at Building 7. He had said something about having to step through all kind of bodies laying on the floor when he was coming out. So there was so many conflicting stories and just so many people involved that it's hard to get a clear picture of exactly
why Building 7 was not hit by an airplane. Why would there possibly be bodies inside Building 7, I wonder?
He died. That guy just died not long ago, a couple years ago. And first of all, he got all scared because he had gone on a couple videos and said a few things, and then he got all scared, and then he ended up dying. So I don't know exactly what happened there, but, there's a lot of...
Well, my recollection, Building 7, because I remember watching the video in real time, there were a few fires. It looked like, you know, some firemen could have put it out with CO2 fire extinguishers. And coming out a couple of windows. Looks like maybe some debris from the Twin Towers had maybe broken some glass and started some small, very small, easily containable fires in Building 7. And, Building 7 came down in its own footprint, didn't it?
Yeah. In fact, Larry Silverstein was on PBS and said that, we decided we couldn't salvage it, so we decided to pull it. You know, he had a big slip up there, and that's been probably a nemesis that's been haunting him since he said those words, pull it.
Has Silverstein given any public explanation of that statement?
Yeah, he said that basically he, by saying pull it, he meant pull the crew out, or pull the, the fire crew out of there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but are not all emergency responders, police, paramedics, and firemen, all emergency responders under a gag order from a federal judge not to discuss what they saw that day?
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I have to look that up, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, we got a break. Hold on, everybody. We'll be back after the break.
Now here's more of John Moore on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Tuesday, our Moore. It is Tuesday, the 8th day of March. Lucas, are you still there, sir?
I am here.
Okay. We're kind of dusting off the cobwebs of our memories here, aren't we?
I can easily debunk that Larry Silverstein's thing about him, saying to pull the crew out. Well, for one, why is the chief of the fire department consulting a building owner of what he should do with his fire team. Okay, his fire team is under his control, not Larry Silverstein's control. Why would he consult him about that? They just go ahead and do whatever they had to, regardless of what Larry Silverstein had to say.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. My recollection is the people who had jurisdiction, first of all, for investigating this fire would be the New York City Fire Department, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, that would be in the normal sense of the word. Now, I believe that the New York City Fire Department did not conduct an investigation into this event. Is that accurate also?
I don't think anybody conducted an investigation into this event.
Well, there was a 9/11 commission, and I've got a copy of the report, which, by the way, this is about a 3-inch thick publication. It does not even mention Building 7. The 9/11 commission report does not even mention Building 7.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that should tell anybody
this is how important this is. You talk about the size of the Twin Towers. Now, Building 7, if Building 7 had gone down on September 10th, the day before, it would have been the worst property crime in the history of the United States by itself. That's how big and how large Building 7 was. In most of the 50 states, Building 7, with the exception of maybe Chicago, New York, and a couple other places, Building 7 would be the tallest, the biggest building in most of the 50 states if it had been located in one of them. Isn't that accurate also?
Yeah. Los Angeles would have bigger buildings, but yeah, most cities don't have a building that tall. I'm in Austin, Texas, and I think our tallest building is like 40 stories.
Right, and Building 7, I believe, is 48, 50 stories tall, if I remember right.
47 stories.
Right. There was hardly any fire in there. Little fires that quite frankly, the local Boy Scouts could put out with some fire extinguishers. and it's just amazing what happened right in front of our eyes, live on nationwide TV. I remember it was just a few weeks after these events. I was at a wedding. And U.S. Congressman Todd Akin was one of the ushers. There was two ushers, myself and Todd Akin, who's a friend. And Todd is an engineer. He's a graduate engineer. And I was telling him, I said, Todd, you know, kerosene can't do what they say happened. It just can't happen. And he looked at me like I had two heads. It's amazing. They took these congressmen up on buses and gave them tours of the World Trade Center and told these guys what happened. And they, most of them apparently just believe it.
Yeah, well, I was on the Trade Center one time on the top story on the observation deck, and that's how I know that it wouldn't have fallen down. But you have to see it. They rely on the fact that most of the public hasn't seen how big those buildings really were, and you could easily see that they would absorb multiple hits.
Well, in fact, just thinking about the video of this commercial airliner slicing into the building, the commercial airliner, these planes are massive, and we most of us have seen these things up front and personal. It looks like a toy going into the side of a really big building.
Exactly. And I mean, there's just so many things surrounding 9/11. I mean, to me, throughout all my research basically came down to the fact that, well, not I wouldn't say the fact, but it came down to my belief that the whole thing was they hired 19 hijackers. The hijackers probably thought that they were on a regular hijack mission, and somebody from the ground remote controlled the planes into their destinations.
Are not about 12 of the 19 alive and accounted for living in the Middle East right now?
Yeah, there are several. I don't know exactly how many, but there are several that were on the list. So they probably had some, token people to go through the checkpoints and through the cameras for show.
It's kind of we can't hardly issue arrest warrants for these guys because they're dead.
Yeah. Or their passports went right through the burning rubble and landed on the ground perfectly and were unburned or untouched.
Yeah. How bizarre is that? It's truly amazing.
it's funny, at the beginning of the movie Shooter, he sits down at the computer and he's like, you see a copy of the 9/11 Commission report there, and he turns on his computer and he says, let's see what the government's lying to us about today.
I watched Shooter again. It's one of my all-time favorite films. I watched it again a couple of weeks ago, and I recall that scene. The young man, the former Marine, he's quite a character, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. I was at Goodwill looking at books, and I saw a 9/11 Commission report there, and I took it out of its section and filed it in the fiction section.
Good for you. We got a caller here, a regular caller. Roger in Arkansas. Go ahead, Roger.
You know, here's a little demonstration, you know, that should prove to everybody that jet fuel didn't bring the...
Hold on, Roger. Hold that thought. We got a break. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be back after the break. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Tuesday, the 8th day of March. Freeze Dry Guy does have the food. A lot of misinformation out there, a lot of stories that are not accurate. It is a fact that Mountain House is no longer selling freeze dried food directly to the public. It's also a fact that Freeze Dry Guy has two warehouses stocked up and ready for delivery. His website is freezedryguy.com. There's a link from my website, thelibertyman.com. Freeze Dry Guy's out there in California. Give him a couple hours before you call, if you would, please, at 866-404-3663. I say again, 866-404-3663. If you want electricity at your home, at your ranch, at your farm, check out ZapWorks. There's a new link at my website. Give these guys a call. They'll explain why nickel iron alkaline batteries will last for decades, and high-quality lead-acid batteries will last maybe 12 years, maybe. And that's very optimistic. 8 years is about average for $500 lead-acid batteries. Here at my place, we had $20,000 worth of lead-acid batteries. They're now all scrap metal because they're more than 12 years old. ZapWorks, check them out. My website is thelibertyman.com. My best-selling DVD, Global Warming, What the Government's Been Telling You, is there as well. And, Roger, you're about to give us a simple experiment here, sir. What is that, please? Roger, on the air. Go ahead. Hello, Roger.
I think we lost Roger.
I think we lost Roger. Are you there, Roger?
I'm here.
Yes. What was that experiment you were going to tell us about?
You know the little torpedo heaters? I call them little jet engines.
Oh, yeah, they're about 3 feet long, about 10 inches in diameter,
yeah.
Just off the floor. Right.
Well, some of them run on propane. Most of them run on kerosene or jet fuel.
Right.
And when you light them babies off, you pretty much got a jet exhaust coming out the end of it. They're made out of steel. They don't melt.
Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, Roger, firemen were on the floor where the airliner hit, the same floor. And they're standing there in the hottest part of the fire with their, basically what firemen wear is a heavy raincoat, quite frankly. And they're holding their radios very calmly talking about how to put the fire out. And if it was 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, they would not be standing there in their raincoats with Motorola radios describing to their bosses down below how to put the fire out, would they?
No, I don't think so.
Hardly.
Yeah.
Hardly.
All right, well, I'll let you go. I just wanted to
really
put my 2 cents worth in.
Thank you. We appreciate that, Roger. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. Lucas, the cell phone calls from the airplanes, did you cover that in your video?
No, actually, I didn't cover any of that in that video, but I know what it's about. I've tried to make cell phone calls from airplanes, and it just doesn't work.
Well, there's two parts of that. One is the fact they simply can't be done, which is a massive obstacle. The other is, how are these things recorded for everybody to be able to listen to them?
Well, yeah, there was one call. I forget the guy's name, but he calls, I guess he calls his mom, and he says, "Mom, this is first and last name." And nobody ever says to their mom, "This is for, you know, this is so-and-so."
You're absolutely right. Who would do such a thing?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, there's so many little anomalies around this. It's just...
And mom just happened to have a tape recorder handy?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, it was on the answering machine, I believe.
Oh, it was on the answering machine. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I believe he left a message on the answering machine, and he said his first and last name, so I thought that was kind of weird.
So, Mom, this is John Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tragic and it's funny. I mean, talk about anomalies. And then my private sources tell me this plane that went down in Pennsylvania was shot down by the United States Air Force.
Oh, yeah, that's easy. Like I said, if you go watch the UltimateCon, just go to Google Video and type in 9/11 proof or whatever, or the UltimateCon, you'll see all the news footage, and the debris was scattered over a six-mile radius.
You do not have a six-mile debris field when an airplane goes down in a field.
No, it didn't hit the ground and bounce all over 6 miles.
Right.
You know, it's
right. It'll be a few hundred feet. Your debris field will be a few hundred feet at the most of an airplane going down in a farmer's field.
Yeah, the coroner said when he got to the site that his job was pretty much done because there wasn't a body or drop of blood to be examined. So
no bodies?
Yeah, there were no bodies.
You know, we've been going to airplane crashes now for about 70, 80 years. There's always bodies. Why wouldn't there be bodies?
Yeah, exactly. So, I guess,
you know, plane crashes, the bodies are still, you know, just the bodies are still bodies. And we've been, you know, anybody who observes a plane crash knows that, don't we?
Yeah. Old Rummy slipped up when he was talking about he said a missile hit the Pentagon by accident. He slipped on that. And then I guess, who else was that? Maybe somebody in Department of Homeland Security was being interviewed on, I think it was Fox News, and he said the plane that was shot down over Pennsylvania. You know, so
go ahead.
What happens is when you the thing about a lie like this is you've got to create 700,000 sub lies to cover it, and
right.
Then you have to, you know, you've got to remember all these little lies, and every once in a while you slip up and. That's
well, and all these players, about. These players are not trained actors. They're just people.
Yeah,
you know, and they're not trained in covert operations. They're not trained to in the arts of deception, and they screw up, don't they?
Yeah, they have these Freudian slips, and you know, because the mind really wants to tell the truth, and you've got to work hard to suppress the truth. So every once in a while, it slips out by accident.
Yeah,
there's several.
There's several people having microphones stuck in their face, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there's several slips. You can go on Google and type in 9/11 Freudian slips, and you'll pull up several people that have slipped up.
Well, I would think interviewing that coroner in Pennsylvania would be a fascinating interview, don't you?
Oh, yeah. There's so many different people out there that a lot of people surrounding the Pentagon. You know, why did, after all these years, that's one of the things that I've always, you know, kind of had a thing about with the people that believe that no planes hit the World Trade Center and it was all holograms, was the fact that, you know, all these years, why didn't they just edit a video for the Pentagon and show a plane going in there?
They released
these footages that show nothing, and supposedly it was recorded. You know, here's the most secure building in the entire planet, basically, and it's got hundreds of video cameras everywhere, yet they release footage of basically nothing.
Exactly. We got a caller here, Ollie in West Virginia. Go ahead, Ollie.
Yes. I've been interested in 9/11 since about 2005. In fact, when that incident happened, I knew immediately that there was some sort of hanky-panky, that those buildings would not have come down as neatly in their own cracks if they'd been merely hit by airplane. Are you familiar with Dr. Judy Wood?
I've heard of her. Have you heard of her, Lucas?
Yes, I've heard her.
Yeah. Well, she wrote an extensive book about that, and she says they were brought down by directed energy weapons. This is scalar technology of which the public has very limited knowledge. I myself have become aware of this technology within the last 2-3 years or so, and I have worked diligently at trying to understand it. This is physics which is completely different from the physics which is taught in the public schools and the colleges and universities, and it is very different, but she says this is what was used to bring those buildings down. And she's written a big book with pictures. And so I just wanted to share this with you.
Okay, well, we appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Have you heard about the scalar weapons theory about the buildings coming down, Lucas?
Oh, yeah. I've heard several hundred different theories of how they've come down.
Right.
You know,
now, one of the things I'm aware of, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but survivors of the Twin Towers say that in the months, it was months, leading up to the event of September 11th, there was workers heard on vacant floors of the Twin Towers where there should have been no people at all, no remodeling taking place. The sounds of heavy construction work taking place. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they heard upstairs things being moved around. And I would suggest anybody that wants to learn about 9/11 needs to watch the best movie out there ever is called 9/11 Mysteries. That movie, for one, it's not some guy yelling in your face, 9/11 was an inside job. It's narrated by a female with a nice soft voice who scientifically explains everything and how it works, and it's much more digestible for people.
It sounds good. That's I haven't seen that myself. I just made a note of it. I'm going to see if I can get it today off of Amazon or something. That's good. I'm glad to hear about that. And when did that movie came out, about what year?
I think it came out in 2005, I believe.
Okay. We'll give or take a year or two. That's fine. The cover-up continues, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely continues. 9/11 is a tip of a very, very big iceberg.
It is. Now, my understanding is there's been more resignations and retirements of New York City firemen since 9/11 than there's ever been. Are you aware of that?
Oh, I know that there was a lot. And also, there was maybe back in 2007 or 8, somewhere around then, the New York City Fire Department and the New York City Police Department got in a brawl. There was basically the firemen were upset, and I guess I think it was Giuliani at the time sent the police down there to quell their little demonstration, and the New York City Fire Department beat the tar out of the cops.
Well, firemen tend to be pretty big, tough guys, and they don't sit around as much as cops do. We got another call here. Todd in Arkansas. Go ahead, Todd.
Lucas, I was noticing the other day, if you look at some nighttime pictures of the Trade Towers, they must have been in the later 90s maybe, but you can see certain levels of the towers where all the lights are turned off, kind of spaced along like the demolition crew was done for the day and turned off the lights.
Okay, is that it, Todd?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. The concrete was pulverized and turned into powder, wasn't it, Lucas?
Yeah, like talcum powder. And
yes.
So many people got sick from that. You got to think of all the different smoke detectors and microwave ovens and things like that that had all these mixtures of various compounds and chemicals that basically just turned to dust and was inhaled by thousands and thousands of people.
There's still, I about once a year or so, even today, 10 years later, I still read about body parts being found on roofs and ledges around lower Manhattan.
Yeah, they found some bones on top of a roof a couple of years ago. Yeah,
yep.
It was, Yeah, and they, you know, they actually took a lot of the debris against the family's will and just used it to fill in potholes and stuff throughout New York City. You know, it was people worried about that there was going to be, you know, pieces of people in the roads.
Of course, that's a reasonable concern. That's a very reasonable and rational concern because, of course, there would be.
Yeah, and they shipped all that stuff out. Boy, how quickly they sold that steel off and got rid of it and shipped it out of there as fast as possible. That was a phenomenal cleanup effort. There is definitely, you can see, if you are diligent enough and astute enough, you can look through all the pictures and you can see girders that were cut. You can see the belt marks where they were cut.
Absolutely. In fact, I believe days, and I know, and I think there was weeks after the event, there were still molten puddles of steel in the basement of the trade centers, weren't there?
Yeah, that's why I lean towards the thermite theory. It seems to me that it was taken down by thermite placed in strategic places. It had 47 steel columns, and what should have happened is basically above where the plane hit, that piece should have, if anything was going to happen, that piece should have broken off and fallen to the ground and left a big stump sticking up. But
right.
It did.
Right.
They fell right down into their basements like a controlled demolition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I believe the last man out of one of the towers was a custodian or janitor of some kind, and he's been pretty public in talking about the explosions he heard, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's been a lot of public out there, and it's just, you know, it's the Internet is the only true media source now. You're not going to get this on any of the news channels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, going back to that film, The Shooter, when our hero is interviewing the retired gunsmith and firearms expert, he went into some fascinating things pretty quick there about the Kennedy assassination and so forth.
Oh, that's my favorite scene of the whole movie. When he says, those boys on the grass, you know, they were buried out in the desert, you know, a couple hours later, and the FBI just says, how do you know this? And he goes, I still got the shovel.
It is absolutely one of my favorite scenes also. Another one of my favorite scenes is when our Marine hero rescues the FBI agent who's about to be murdered and to make it look like suicide. And the FBI agent says, are you going to shoot me? And the agent says, if I want to do that, you'd be dead already.
And the next line was even funnier. He looks around and says, what kind of a-hole would do something like this?
This is a professional sniper. Very well done film. And I have a friend, and I've interviewed him on my show several times, Mr. Andrews, and he did counter sniper work for the State Department in Afghanistan, and he's involved in cutting edge research and development of optics, projectiles, and firearms, he's very good at analyzing these kind of things. He and I have not talked about that film, and I think we need to, because I'm sure he'd have some very astute observations of the technology involved in that movie. Lucas, we're coming up towards the end of the hour here, and we've had a great visit about your production, The Ultimate Con. It certainly gave you a lot of notoriety. In fact, you even got a stalker out of all this, didn't you? Hold on.
You've got an inside corner on the truth, thanks to John Moore and the Republic Broadcasting Network. To talk to John Moore live on the air, call 1-800-313-9443.
We're back down the last couple of minutes here. Lucas, I was before the break. I was mentioning that you managed to get yourself at least one stalker out of what you did, didn't you?
Yeah. I had a stalker for a couple of years, and that was interesting.
It's almost like being a movie star, isn't it?
I wouldn't compare it to that. I just put you know, put this out there and had somebody who disagreed with it and decided to spend a good portion of his life stalking me. But, hey, well, what are you going to do?
I know. You just go on with your life. Any final words before we wrap this up for today?
Well, just, you know, the Ultimate Con has always been free. It'll always be free. It's been on the Internet for 4 years now. And actually, we'll be approaching the four-year anniversary of me. I uploaded it several times, and they deleted it. And so I actually had to have somebody from England upload it on their account. It's been up there ever since. So
Outstanding. And your DVD, The Destroyer Star and the Future Mankind, is available at your website, rabbitholenumeral2.com, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. And,
okay.
Check that out, too.
Well, it's good visiting with you, Lucas. I'll be in touch privately, and you'll have a wonderful day.
Okay, great. I'll talk to you later, John.
Okay. Thank you, Lucas. And that was Lucas, my friend, and we visit frequently. He's quite the researcher, does some excellent work. I highly recommend his DVD titled The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind, available at his website, rabbitholenumeral2.com, rabbitholenumeral2.com. About to wrap up this day and get on with my day. I hope you're going to have a wonderful, productive day yourself. I certainly am, and looking forward to my day. And here we are, well, starting the second week of March already. The year is well underway, obviously. Be sure and listen to a lot of Republic Radio. There's an excellent host here, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The website has updated information, good news stories that you can get caught up on the news, what's happening, what's important. You need to help you make decisions and know what's going on in the world, all at republicbroadcasting.org. Excellent sponsors. Check out the sponsors. They offer products that will help you achieve your goals, whether your goals are preparedness or health-related. I urge you to check out what they offer and see if anything that they offer would help you achieve your goals. My website, of course, is thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. My best-selling DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, is available there. I do have a toll-free number, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, answered by fine young Americans in St. Louis, nobody from Mumbai. That's 800-592-9543. It's 800-592-9543. And the day is underway. It will be another wonderful day to be alive and living in America, as it always is. This is the greatest country on the planet. We do have our defects and our faults and our warts and pimples, but it's still the best place in the world to be conducting business and living, in my opinion. And with that, we will be wrapping up the show here, getting on with our day, doing the things that need to be done, and hopefully you'll be thinking about preparedness at some point during the day. Maybe you take a lunch break, you think about your spiritual preparedness, maybe think about getting that ham radio license, think about getting those emergency medical treatment skills. Those are essential, fundamental things that will help you years in the future. And that's it. You all be safe out there. Buy lots of ammunition. And God bless America.